By the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we are all gathered here to celebrate the divine appearance of Srimati Radharani. These two verses which are written here were very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. And especially when topics about Radha Krishna Leela were delineated. The first verse, on my left, this is from the Adi Leela of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrit. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmad. He says that Radha Krishna, their pranaya, loving exchanges or loving pastimes, Vikriti means transformation. They are the transformation effected or brought about by Ladini potency, Ladini Shaktir Asmad. Then he says, Ekat, Ek Atma. He says, they are one. Ekat Manav Api Bhuvipura Deha Bhedam. They were two, although it was one originally, but now they have become two. And now again they have become one. And that one is Chaitanya Akhyam. It's called Chaitanya, known as Chaitanya. Prakatam Adhuna, now he has appeared. Tad Dvayam Chaityam Aptam. That two, Tad Dvayam, has become one. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvelitam. This Chaitanya has been seen as decorated with Radha Bhav, with the mood of Radharani. Naomi Krishna Swarupam. I offer my obeisances to Lord Krishna. The second one is from the Govinda, the Brahma Samhita prayers which we chant. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis. We normally know these three words, Satchit Ananda. They are arranged in a different format here. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis. Tabhirya eva nijarupataya kalabhi. Now what we see is so many manifestations of that one form. Nijarupa kalabhi. Kala is expansions. Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuto. Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Lord Brahma is offering his obeisances to Lord Krishna, whose own form has expanded and there are expansions of that form. So naturally, the first question which Prabhupada thought, anyone not knowing about Radha Krishna would ask is, who is that girl with Krishna? And Prabhupada put this in his introduction. Krishna people can understand, someone who plays flutes, who likes to dance. And who is that girl with Krishna? And of course the answer is Radharani. But it's not so simple. If I ask, how many of you, before coming to ISKCON, in any way, shape or form, were knowing that Radharani is the Ladini potency of Krishna? Raise your hands. None. Because we were not taught like that. We were not educated properly. Now here is a question for those who know physics very well. And for those who think they know physics quite well, you also can attempt to answer it. It's a fairly complicated question. what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? I'll repeat the question. What happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? Anyone like to answer? The object will move, but it's an immovable object. Zero impact. They will collide. Sorry? No reaction. Nothing will happen. The object will deform. An answer contributed by the Indian Institute of Technology from its alumnus. Any other answers? Make a guess. There are no negative marks. Sorry? It will make its way. What will make it with the object? Then? Okay. We will see that material scientists say that if you say that what situation will arise if there is a irresistible force encountering an immobile object, by definition, one of them cannot exist. If it's an irresistible force, there cannot be nothing. Nothing can be immovable. If there is something immovable, then it is not an irresistible force. But you will see what happened to him. He was suddenly talking about Radharani and now he's gone into physics. We will try to see how this thing doesn't happen in the spiritual realm. That's the point. That there is an irresistible force and there is something which is immovable. But then something divinely sweet and beautiful happens. In the spiritual realm, they don't lose their sleep over what could happen this way or what could happen that way. There is no fear, there is no anxiety. There is rapturous bliss. That's what Prabhupada writes. In fact, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, these two transcendentalists, who? Radha and Krishna. They are always a puzzle for the mundaners, for the materialistic people. So, we are first told, be conscious of Krishna. And we say, okay, chalo, we'll be Krishna conscious. Then we are said, be conscious of Radha. So we say, okay, now there's one man alone, now he has his wife. And now there are so many others. Nija rupataya kalabhi, millions and millions of those. So, it could be a problem as to what exactly are we running into. So in our short time together, it's a very vast subject, certainly beyond my realm, and I have tried to stay within the limits of what Prabhupada said during his lectures. He always made it a point, do not rush. Do not rush when trying to understand Radha Krishna. If you are at all aware of your ignorance, you are a very knowledgeable person. Because there is a party of people in India called the Sahajyas, who try to take everything Sahaj, very cheap. And Prabhupada says, better not do that. So, we'll begin with a small Leela. That Leela will make us understand what is this thing called force and immovability of something. Krishna likes to enact his rasa dance. Rasa, leela. Rasa is different. Rasa is the juice. We also understand what exactly rasa is through the help of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu given by Srila Rupa Goswami. But rasa leela is the divine dance of ecstasy. It is enacted in various places throughout Vrindavan. During one particular dance, Krishna decided to hide away from the gopis. Normally when we talk of God and His dealings, we expect some kind of sobriety or some kind of polished behavior. But the fact is, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are of a very different nature. This is one place where God doesn't like to play God. He doesn't want to behave like God. He doesn't want anyone to acknowledge that he is God. A very strange thing. Why he does that will also be seen. So although the gopis, the dance partners of Krishna, they are his servants. They are subservient to him, but in that love, they act like they can boss over Krishna. They chide him, they ridicule him, they rebuke him, but not in any mundane way, something the way in which Krishna likes. So Krishna also reciprocates. So this is one time where he hid himself. And suddenly, as if the main reason why you are somewhere is gone, you try to look around. Where is he gone? Where is he gone? So the gopis, their full phalanx, all of them together, started trying to find, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And one of them said, ah, look at these footprints. He's here somewhere. And Vrindavan is full of bowers called kunjas. A kunja is like a small enclosure where people can go and they can hide themselves from outsiders. And while Krishna was hiding inside, he decided to change his form. So when the gopis came, they saw there is Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Dhari, someone sitting there. Now that itself is enough to send some devotees into raptures. There are so many prayers of people who are devotees of the Lord in that Narayana form. But something strange happened. The gopis seeing this, one of them said, ah, this is Narayan. This is not the one we are trying to find. Now we may question, how come these simple village cowherd girls, they have the audacity to say, this is only Narayan. What do you mean? Narayan doesn't come cheap. He is the Supreme Lord. He is full in all opulences. All knowledge, all beauty, all fame, strength, power, renunciation, everything is in him. And Krishna, seeing that, they didn't seem to be impressed. And they went ahead. They just brushed Narayana there and just went ahead to look for Krishna somewhere else. Then came Radharani. So Krishna was hoping that, now let me see what's going to happen now. As he tried to show the Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, those two extra arms just melted away. So our acharyas say that please try to understand, we are not talking about just casual worship of God or just saying that I love God, but among the lovers of God, this is the, as I say, the creme de la creme. This is the real stuff, the real deal. This is the topmost understanding of love of God, so much so that God also cannot play the way he wants. The force of the devotee's love exposes God. He cannot hide behind any disguise. With the gopis, there is no effect. They can't be impressed by God's show of opulence. In fact, when Arjun, on another level, when Arjun was shown the Virat Roop, Prabhupada, another devotee of God, almost on the level of Arjun, writes in his purports, Arjuna is not impressed by such a godless display of opulence. Now here is God himself showing his opulence, and Prabhupada is writing that a godless display of opulence. So similarly, Narayan also, his Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma and everything, didn't impress the gopis a lot, at all. But with Radharani, even that disguise could not stand. So that is the reason why I asked this question in the beginning, that Krishna is all attractive. He is the irresistible force. He can attract anyone and everyone. That's why it's called Akarshayati. He can attract. And that personality who exhibits that attraction towards Krishna of the topmost level, she is his worshipper. Worship is called Aradhana in Sanskrit language. And therefore her name is Radha. One who is the best or shows the epitome of developing that worshipping attitude towards Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam especially is meant for developing this worshipping attitude. That's the specific purpose of this great literature. So, all the acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami, has given a step-by-step method. What should we do to increase our attachment, or why do we not have this attachment? He's answered so many questions. Prabhupada took all of them in one lecture, which is very useful. He says that, try to understand from a very simple point of view, Krishna is Parabrahma. Arjuna says, everybody agrees that Krishna is Parabrahma. Now, to achieve Brahma, that means to achieve something spiritual in our lives, there is a condition. And that condition is, you have to give up your material objectives. You have to give up your material attachment. If somebody prefers Shankaracharya's route, that we like him, he is a old trusted one, you know, everybody agrees Shankaracharya's method is foolproof. You can't even ask him a question unless you take sannyas. If you say, Acharya, last year you said something, I have a question on your lecture. He says, are you sannyasi? No, not allowed. You say, why? Why should I take sannyas? He says, Brahma Satya. That thing which you want to achieve is only truth. And you are asking anything from your relative point is mithya. Like people come here and say, I don't have a job, or my boss troubles me, or my wife is like that, my husband is like this. Shankaracharya doesn't entertain any of these questions. You can't ask anything about your past karma, future prospects, nothing. First of all, renounce everything. So Prabhupada says, our acharyas, they are very lenient. They say, okay, you know, if you don't get sleep in the night, take some hot milk and read Krishna book. You have to put something. So, although you might have tried hot milk, but not hot milk with Krishna book, so maybe that will work. But the fact is that Shankaracharya was very strict. And of course, you have to give up your love for your mundane things here. So Jiva Goswami raises a question that by giving up everything on the mundane platform, only then can you achieve Brahma. And then when you have to achieve Parabrahma, you find that this Parabrahma is dancing with girls, or he is cheating, or he is doing that. Could that be mundane? How can that be mundane? How can that be the kind of love you see in novels or in films or in books or whatever? So Jiva Goswami first of all removes this misconception that Radha Krishna or Krishna dancing with gopis has anything to do with any material activity which you and me may see outside here. You have to come to the platform of giving up this idea of enjoying material sense gratification. Prabhupada then says that somebody says, okay, I am on a Jnana platform. I have renounced the world. Have you seen people asking, do you have to renounce the world to get Krishna? So Prabhupada in that lecture says, my question to you is, when did the world become your property? Something worth thinking about. That when did anything in this world become my property that I have to renounce it? So it's foolishness. Prabhupada says, two things happen. If you try to enjoy the world, you will be a thief. You are enjoying something which is not your own. And if you try to renounce it, you are foolish. Certainly, transcendentalists cannot be a foolish or a thief, right? You have to have something else. Much higher qualification is required. So therefore, we begin with the idea of how do we understand? Is there any way? Can someone help? Narottam Das Thakur says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kabe Hama Bhuja Bose Yugala Piriti. Only when you follow in the footsteps of Rupa Raghunath, acharyas of that caliber, slowly, slowly you can understand what is this thing called Radha Krishna's love. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad is really badgered. Badger means always pecked or poked by his teachers. That how did you get this attachment, or why are you chanting Vishnu's name all the time? His father is questioning him. His father is catching the two teachers, Chanda Amarka, by their scruff of the neck. He's like, tell me, how did my son become so deviated? So they decide to, like normally it happens in offices or at the homes, you get some stress and you just dump it on somebody else. Somebody bawls at you, says, do this thing, you say, do this thing. So it's similar. So the teachers, they said, tell us, how did you get this kind of unnatural attraction? And small boy Prahlad, sweetly saying, Yatha Brahmayatyayo Brahman Swayam Akarsha Sannidho Tayame Bhidyate Chetas Chakrapaner Yadrichaya. He says, Yatha Brahmayati Aya. He says, teachers, my dear teachers, as iron particles move, Aya is iron, Yatha Brahmayati Aya, Brahman, O Brahmanas, Swayam Akarsha Sannidho. As a magnet moves iron, you know, kids play, you put on a piece of paper a few iron filings and you move a magnet from below and they move. So it appears as if they move on their own, but there is a magnet which is moving them. Prahlad is saying that just as a magnet moves iron particles, Chetash, my Chetana, my consciousness, Yadrichaya, is moved by the will of Chakrapani, Lord Hari, Vishnu. He says, I can't do anything about it. I'm sorry. And that is the crux of the matter. Naturally, iron is attracted to magnet. Naturally. You don't have to teach it. You don't say, here is a magnet, go here. No. You bring a magnet and it gets attracted. So the scriptures say, similarly Krishna, if he is put anywhere, the jiva is bound to get attracted. Full force. The jiva may look like an immovable object, but he doesn't. Once you see Krishna and you go there. And strangely you see in this material world, nothing happens. At least we all experience. We see Krishna in the deity form. Like once somebody was mentioning that people, so many people come for darshan and they may see gold, looks like gold, or this teak, is it Burma teak? They may be attracted by so many things and they may say, did you see Radha Krishna? Oh, the idols are very good. In fact, once I was doing deity worship and there was some work going on, and so mysteries, carpenters, they had to come there. So one fellow was new, and since it was a heavy work, we were allowing them that even while we were worshipping, they were allowed to do their work. So somebody said, "Ye kya hai?" And the other fellow said, "Roj kapda badalta hai." For him, the only thing was, there's some marble statues here, and these people put so much time into just changing their clothes. So, although it is a minuscule thing, but still, it is not wasted. Something to do with Krishna always reaps some dividends. Here, Prahlad is helping us to understand why we don't get attracted. Why that attraction doesn't come. So, Hiranyakashipu is asking him, why are you so deviant? Plain question, why are you so deviant? Prahlad says, Father, my question to you is,
How are you unnaturally unattracted towards Krishna?
So I don't think there is going to be easy way of saying who's right. Many times we feel that if you just put the Gita in front of somebody, read this Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Paridhyaja, and you should do that. It doesn't happen like that. Or we feel, why I am not being immediately attracted towards Krishna. There are many reasons for that. Common sense dictates that there is one situation where the iron won't even move. You bring the most powerful magnet, it won't move. And the reason is, there is a rust on the iron. That rust prevents iron from showing its very simple natural quality. Who is Prahlad's father? He is Hiranyakashipu. There is a very common thing about two great obstacles, and they are called Kamini Kanchan. Attraction for illicit association with women, attraction for amassing gold. This gentleman's name is the same, although it's named in a different way. Instead of calling him Mr. Kamini Kanchan, he was called Mr. Hiranyakashipu. Basically, Hiranya is gold, and Kashipu is a soft bed where you sleep or you associate with women. So it's the same thing. So because of these two things, because of these pursuit of these two, and the subsidiary activities which come when you pursue these two, rust keeps on generating, and that prevents you from being naturally attracted towards Krishna. Lord Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, he sort of introduces this idea when he says that Yanisha Sarvabhutanam Tasyam Jagarti Sayami Yasyam Jagarti Bhutanam Sa Yasyam Jagarti Sayama. What is that? Sa Nisha Pashyato Mune. Yasyam Jagarti Bhutanam Sa Nisha Pashyato Mune. That night for one, ya nisha sarva bhutanam, everyone agrees it is night, take rest. And this muni is awake, he is not sleeping. When everyone is sleeping, somebody is awake. When he is sleeping, everybody is awake. Now you may say, okay, that's today especially with the liberal attitude towards everything, people might say, isn't that a matter of choice? That someone is spontaneously attracted towards Maya and somebody is spontaneously attracted towards Krishna. So both may be good because the spontaneous attraction is there. But then what about the results? What about the after effects? If that also comes spontaneous and you accept that, then it's okay. But no, the educationists are shouting that there is no discipline. We need to have something, some law and order. Please, someone help. The ecologists are saying that this desire for sense gratification is ruining everything. We have to stop somewhere. Just for an example, I was reading in an economics magazine about one Indian industrialist is going to give Indians something which they have cherished for a long time. A car for every family for only 1 lakh rupees. Just 1 lakh. Beg, borrow, steal, but get your car. And in order to produce that car, you have to have so much land. So they convinced some Indian government that could you give us some land, 3,000 acres. And that means naturally those people who stay there, those who have their agricultural activities there, have to be displaced. And there, few smart thinking heads were discussing, what do we do with this kind of car? Do we have the roads for it? They say, well, that's not our concern. That's the government's concern. What about the pollution? What about the parking space? What about so many other things? There are people who are saying that those poor farmers who are having one kind of income now, and if you are given 15-20 times the price of your land, suddenly you become rich. There is a get rich quick GRQ syndrome. But there is no stay rich syndrome. You get rich and suddenly you again become poor. So one person from some ecology strategies institute from Delhi was saying, in 5 years, we will see all these farmers coming back to their own previous level of standard of income or standard of living. They will have other bad habits. Now they won't have any land because their land is already sold. So they will get some job as a turner, fitter, mechanic somewhere in those ancillary areas which this car company is going to produce. It's going to be one big disaster. And that person added, how do we train people to keep a control or check on their desires? Now, if we introduce this philosophy, they say this is too much. Oh, you're, haven't we been accused of saying that you're trying to push India back to the primitive times? Would you rather have a primitive, agrarian, sustainable situation or a forward-looking, positive, futuristic hell? That's the only way. So therefore, it's not just a simple thing that, oh, he's attracted to Krishna and he's attracted to Maya. It's not like that. As Hiranyakashipu got destroyed, he and all his followers of his way of thinking will share the same fate. We have to make that choice. So, we move on ahead by taking a stock of the situation that we are not spontaneously attracted because of our own choice. We make a choice of being attracted to material objects and therefore the Radha Krishna bliss is far, far away. So we are helpless, we are bound. There has to be some intervention. Somebody has to intervene. Like in medical terms, previously you used to check, take some pills, doesn't work. Give an injection, that means straight in the blood. When the blood injection doesn't work, then you just put an IV. So something similar happens when Radharani, she's not just the person who enjoys the most with Krishna and she's smug and secure in her position that, you know, I'm happy and that's it. I'm very happy. She's the embodiment of compassion. We'll see what exactly is the situation in which she appears. Vrindavan or Vraj has many areas. One area is Barasana or Varshana, where there is a Varsha of Rasa, of mellows. That's why it's called Barasana. The king and queen of Barasana are Vrishabhanu Dev and his wife Kirtida Devi. So as the Leela goes on, like Krishna takes birth, Radharani also takes birth. As Krishna appears in a very mystical way, she also appears in a very mystical way. They decide that it would be auspicious if we move our kingdom from Barasana to somewhere near the Jamuna. Somehow this thought comes in their mind. So they would go to a place called Rawal, which is still there today. We can visit it. And one day, there are various ways of Radharani's appearance, but one particular way in which this Leela is told is that King Vrishabhanu, while he was plowing in his field, something very similar to Sita Devi's appearance described in the Ramayana, while he was plowing, suddenly he found a jeweled box. He was very amazed as to what could this be. He opened it and there was a most enchanting, beautiful baby girl in that box. He was overjoyed. He brought this to his home. Both he and his wife were very happy. And they found one thing very peculiar. Although this girl was showing all signs of life and seemed to be very bonny and cuddly, but she was not opening her eyes and she wouldn't speak. They were saying, how I wish, like a mother feels, how I wish I could nurse this baby girl. She would talk in a broken language. Especially for a mother, the kalabhashanam, broken language, is the most sweetest thing to hear. And news spread. They were already very happy because their friend Nanda Baba, who is another king of a different part, he and his wife in a very old age had been blessed with a baby boy. So Nandotsav, what we celebrated after Janmashtami, it was already known that they were very happy. When Krishna was like he could move on his fours, all fours, that time they were invited at Vrishabhanu's palace. So Krishna came up to the cradle where this baby girl was kept. As he went and saw her, plung, she opened her eyes and smiled sweetly. And you can imagine the joy. She was already very beautiful. But now they know that, hey, she's not blind or something. So it is explained that Radharani doesn't even want to see anything except first take darshan of Krishna. So both of them independently grew up in their royal households. Although Nanda Maharaj was a Vaishya, he was a king. There was no shortage of anything. They both grow. Krishna also grows. Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna's age has various levels of understanding. He's a Shishu. Then he's a Kumar. There is a Pauganda. Then there is Kumar and Kishore. After Kishore Leela, after the Kishore Avastha, Krishna doesn't age any further. So this notion that God is the Adipurush, that means he can barely hold a stick, he's so old now, that's not true. He's Navayavanamcha. He's Adipurusha, Purana Purusham, at the same time Navanavayavan. Nitya Navanavayamana. So Krishna, he has this understanding, as he explains in the Bhagavad Gita, this material world is meant for those who want to enjoy sense gratification separately from me. They are mine, mam eva amsha. Krishna doesn't say that those living entities who have rebelled against me, I have given them up. The living entities have given me up. I know that. But I have not given them up. If he gives us up, we are gone. There is no hope. But just like a father, when he hears that my son says my father is dead, it pains him. He feels that, what has happened to him? He's gone mad or what? But I won't say that my son is dead for me. I'll always wait. So similarly, it is Radharani who, by her superior worship, wins Krishna's heart. And she, now this contribution is unique in the world of theology. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in that book, Prabhupada says, what actually is love of God is found in Vaishnav literature only. There are various levels. We don't say that we are the only ones who love or we are the chosen people. No. But the highest development, and you can test it for yourself. What does love mean? There is sacrifice. There is this desire to give up anything and everything for the sake of the beloved. So anywhere where this is shown to the maximum degree, naturally, the love is high. That love is supposed to be the highest. So, in that particular I think this is the introduction to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very important book. Prabhupada says, devotional service is already the highest platform. It's not that bhakti has to be made into some kind of high platform. It's already the highest platform. But you, Rupa Goswami is praying to Lord Chaitanya. You, oh my dear Lord Chaitanya, you have appeared as Sachinandan. And whoever hears the Chaitanya Charitamrita keeps you in their hearts. And this is one thing which is the most important. It will be easy to understand Krishna through you. So here we see, Ekatmana Vapi, there is one personality who became two, Radha and Krishna. Now again they have become one. So why we spend so much time trying to understand Lord Chaitanya? We have Radha Krishna, we have another Gopalji. Why do we keep Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda side by side? It's our endeavor to understand Krishna. And Krishna himself says, Manushanam api sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. It's not very easy. So the most impossible part of any transcendental journey becomes very easy with the help of Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktacharya Maharaj once mentioned that Gaudiyas are the very shrewdest kind of transcendentalists. We normally put our resources, our investment, which will yield the highest result quickly, that too. So all that we do, the Mangalartis we attend, the chanting sessions we do, the Krishna Katha, the determination, tolerance, all the things what we do here is only based on one understanding, that if you do something in Lord Chaitanya's direction, it will be easy to understand Radha Krishna Prem. Because otherwise, you will find that most sampradayas don't even know about Radharani's position. Some say she is a apsara from the heavenly planet. Some say she must be this, she must be that. And normally, her whole thing is kept secret. Just like if you meet somebody for the first time, you say, hey, how's your wife? He may slap you. He may say, what do you mean? Don't you have any manners? One doesn't ask that. So if you meet Krishna, and Krishna says, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, and how is she? No, it doesn't. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no Radharani. Anywhere. Is it? She is there. Prabhupada called, we will name our New Delhi temple, Shri Shri Radha Partha Sarthi Mandir. And one devotee said, Prabhupada, the Partha Sarthi is the Kurukshetra Leela, where Krishna is acting as a chariot driver for his devotee, Partha Sarthi. What makes you feel that Radha Partha Sarthi? Prabhupada says, do you think that she is not there on the chariot? She is there. There are some religious movements or spiritually, social, ecological movements or whatever you call them. They have some mixture of bhakti in them. So there Krishna is like one Krishna standing alone with the whole globe around him. Prabhupada says, Krishna alone is Vasudev. When you see Krishna alone, that's only the Vasudev form. We say Radha Krishna together. One time one devotee asked, in our temples, why we have Krishna's head slightly like this? Slightly, just oh so slightly. Prabhupada said, he is inclined towards his devotees. He is very inclined towards his devotees. So he always is slightly leaning towards the left. Vamangi, she always stands to his left. So therefore, even when we have Krishna alone and on the so-called alone in the battlefield, he's not actually alone. He's present with all his energies. In fact, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are simple examples given. For example, a tree produces so many fruits. Each fruit capable of having seeds, which are capable of producing so many fruits. But the tree has produced so many fruits, does it mean the tree has gone zero now, nil, finito, end? No. It's still existing. So here in this world, in front of you and me, we have things which can produce so many things and still they don't lose their existence. That means the potent Shaktiman and his Shakti exhibition, you can see all the time. What makes you feel that the Supreme Lord may lose his potency anytime? So the Lord is Krishna, Ram, Vishnu, Narayan. That's calling the Lord as the potent Shaktiman. But when you address him together, when we say Hare Krishna, there is Hara, the energy, and Krishna is the Lord, the potent. Both are addressed together. Is Krishna not so compassionate? He is. In one sense, it is not that Radha Krishna are two personalities. Like if you say, I met Mr. and Mrs. Banerjee, that means that you met two people, isn't it? Mr. Banerjee is a bit miserly, his wife is very good. So that could be, you want some help for your temple, the husband says, no, don't give so much. And the wife says, no, please give some. That's not the case with Radha and Krishna. Just to clear this misconception. Krishna's own tenderness of his heart, his own compassion is personified as Radharani. But when you address him through her, then it is very nice. He readily accepts it. The limit of Krishna's Radharani's compassion is exhibited when she's like a coward girl. They do all the things necessary which coward girls do. Milk the cows, churn butter, take the curd, the ghee and milk and food for selling. All the while in between they also play in Vrindavan's bowers and Jamuna. So, once they saw near Radha Kund a jackal, a female jackal, piteously crying. It seems that some village boys were troubling her. She tried to run away. Then she hid herself in a small hole where they were trying to put her tail on fire. And she was really piteously crying, very miserable. So Radharani sent her Sakhi, her friend, Lalita Devi. Just see what's happening. And when she came and reported that this poor female jackal is being tormented, so Radharani took compassion on her, just because she heard her cries. And actually she gave her a divine form, like a Sakhi, like herself, in Golok Vrindavan. So the Acharyas explained that if we understand, we are also like in this small foxhole of our own material world, and it's on fire. Samsara Davanala. A Davanala especially is one fire which nobody tries to start, but it gets started anyway. And therefore if we piteously cry out to Mother Hara, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In fact, whenever a devotee is introduced to Radharani, if he comes to her and says that, please give me service, engage me in the service of the Lord, there is only one way she introduces. Like, you know, when some people want a job or somewhere and you take somebody's note, it's called a jack in some common parlance. So the people who are going through the normal routine, given an entrance exam or an interview, and they are in one line somewhere, and without even their notice, the people who are having their jacks are already being given their services. Similarly, Gyan Marg, Karma Marg, or Yoga Siddhis, trying to be happy in this world, it's all mechanistic. Where you have to fight for your rights, Everybody is your competitor next to you. You're always fearful that, you know, perhaps he may do this asana better than me and he may actually go ahead. Oh, this fellow may actually take more punya. So there's always this sense of competition. But with Radharani, everybody says, I am the lowest. That's why I deserve more. Narottama Das Thakur begins his prayer by saying that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More. My Lord, mercy, mercy. I said, why you? Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Paibar. You will not find any other deserving candidate. So, devotees pray to Radharani that please engage me in your service. So when she brings this devotee before Krishna, the only introduction she gives all the time is, he is better than me in this. Now just see, now Krishna says, now I am caught. If this fellow is not so better, I have to give him the qualification now. Krishna is the reservoir of all good qualities. So when she has recommended that this person is good, now it is Krishna's job to make him good. Krishna doesn't allow Radharani's words to go in vain. That's the thing which works. It works very well. At the same time, devotees don't feel that they should take any service from Krishna. This is the competition in Bhakti Yoga. Ebe lage hoda hudi. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains. There's a competition between the gopis. They see Krishna so beautiful, so they smile. Their smile increases their beauty. Their beauty increases Krishna's happiness. And his happiness increases. They smile more. They smile more. He's more happy. He's more happy. Their smile increases. It goes on and on and on. Ad infinitum. This is that kind of curve. It never ends. So that is the essence of understanding Radha Krishna love. I repeat, it's a very complicated thing. Because every now and then, all our previous acquired ways of making progress, it's a simple service, I should do it. If there is some name and recognition, I should get it. If something is the best, then I should have it. Nothing like this works here. The gopis, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that we have this Ashtasakhis. We have the two main here, but there are eight of them. The eight kinds of pleasure moods which Radharani has and which Krishna likes, these eight personify them. Like on Lalita Shashti Day, our Baldev Prabhu was giving these stories about Lalita Devi. So all these stories, they show that everything is very minutely, like very precisely functioning for Krishna's pleasure. If Krishna doesn't get pleasure in something, they are willing to give up everything. The gopis may give up their honor. The gopis give up feeding their baby kids, obeying their elderly members of the family. So that is a tall order. That's very tough. A simple example. Raghunath Das Goswami was told by Sanatana Goswami, now you are in Braj, you are fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's mission. I think you should have a small hut. Very simple. What's the problem? He said, no. He's already having his notion that one small thing may lead to another. I've already given up my mansions and everything. Now why bother for a small thing? Sanatana Goswami said, please, the weather in Braj is tough, it's very heavy, chilly, cold in winter season, it's very hot. He would still do his bhajan in that old Radhakund site, not fully excavated yet at the time. And one day Sanatana Goswami saw that a tiger was lurking nearby, not exactly attacking Raghunath Das Goswami. And then he saw Krishna with the coward boy with a stick, standing guard. So he said, this is too much. We should be serving them. But you are making our lords come and serve us. Still Raghunath Das didn't agree. One day again he saw in scorching heat, Raghunath is chanting. And Radharani came and she opened her anchal, her outward garment, just to shield Raghunath Das from the sun. And he could see that profuse perspiration streaming down her cheeks. Now this is too much. So he said, Raghunath Das, this is not acceptable. Finally he relented and he had a small kuti. And thus began the tradition of having kutis near Radhakund area. Otherwise our Goswamis would never ever ever think of getting any service from them. So this is the strange part of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where you understand God to be willing to give anything and everything. So you say, no, why not take everything and run away and then live happily ever after? No. We never make that mistake. Because these are the kind of devotees whom Krishna said. Krishna in the Gita appears to be a little bit very confident. Arjuna, in the one sense, I am everything. Adi, Madhya, Antam, Cha. I am this, I am this, I am this. I am full in all respects. Arjuna is saying, I would like to know all of your opulences. He says, it's not possible because I am in everything. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tatra eva vagachattam mama tejam cha sambhava. Arjuna, how can I do everything? Whatever, whenever, whichever you find something great, good, opulent, it's just a small speck of my potency. This big person, Krishna Vasudev Yadav, S-P-O-G, Supreme Personality of Godhead, this big qualified person, I reciprocate with everyone accordingly. You come, you give me your thing and take your, as they say, mu manga dam lelo. You know, say in Hindi, I'll give you everything what you want plus 10% added. Saap ko khushi, bakshish. Take it. Karmis come, kingdom, wife, opulence, family, cattle, truck, this, that, take it. And enjoy. And then suffer. I don't say that, it's built in. It's built in this product which you asked for. Gyanis come and I say, knowledge, knowledge about you. About me? In full? Yes, in full. So some gyanis make mistakes. They want to capture Krishna with that. That's impossible. Siddhis, people want to impress people. And this goes on and on and on. But when the gopis showed their love, this same Krishna had to come before them. And he said, I am sorry. I can't give you back what you have given me. Na parayeham. I am sorry. The kind of love which you have given me, the kind of things which you have given me, and the kind of reciprocation which I should give, I just don't have it. So here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is forced to tell his devotees, will you be just satisfied with what you have? Please, just be satisfied with what you have. Because this is something so rare that I don't know how to reciprocate with it. So this sows the seed of greed in the Lord. Samacharya explained. Just like if you see a person making people dance around him, or like we may see in some movies, some mafia lord and people are at this beck and call, do this, and we feel, I feel a bit envious, how this fellow rules everybody. Or somebody in his home might just tell somebody, do this, do this, do this. And his poor wife has to do it. There is no other choice. And this fellow may lord for some time. It may not go on for long. But you feel really a bit envious that this fellow is really enjoying. Sometimes the enjoyment is not the product, but the way you make somebody do it. So Krishna, when gopis and sakhis and manjaris and all of them, they serve him. And he is saying that, how come they are so happy? And not just how come they are so happy, at least with Radharani he is convinced, she is more happy than me. I am the one who takes the service, she is the one who gives the service, so naturally I should be the most happy. If somebody says, please massage me, and somebody is doing massage, say, happy? the word happy. Like if a clerk goes to his boss and says, sir, the report is ready, I have to stay up all night. Happy? He says, yeah, happy. Hell with you, you know, I should have known 2 days earlier, so I should not have wasted my all night. So normally in this world, it's not like you make somebody do something for you and you ask him, are you happy? No, we cannot be. Prabhupada went to this printer, old story, and there was this officer, his managers, his vice president and top president. They all came, showed Prabhupada their cards, and Prabhupada said, why you waste your time trying to be happy here? What's your ambition? So he took these cards, took his card, put it on top. That's my ambition, to become the boss here. Because the boss means generally you order, everybody obeys. Here, just the reverse happens. And Krishna is the test of it. He swears that everybody is happy than, more happy than me. All of them were serving me. So I am determined to find the solution to this mystery. That's Lord Chaitanya. The kind of bhav which Krishna takes just in order to find out why these people become so happy when they are serving me. So he knows that if I take the bhav of Radharani, I will have to be completely immersed in that mood. In fact, the Shikshashtak which we sing every day is that. It is Radharani's prayer. Ashlishyava Padratam, you may embrace me, you may kick me away, be present before me, make me broken hearted by not being present before me. You can do anything you want to do with me, you will still remain my worshipable Lord. Mat prananathas tu sa eva, you alone, na paraha, nobody else. So Krishna comes to test, to taste that bliss, that rasa. And therefore, there is Raslila in Vrindavan, there is Sankirtan in Navadvip. The Manjaris who are like young girls, they are the Goswamis here. So it's no difference. But because Chaitanya Leela is more protective. It's more protective. You can't make any mistakes in understanding Lord Chaitanya when they're all males around. The supreme male, Krishna, is also dancing with all males. Lord Chaitanya would never joke even with women. They wouldn't even come near to him. If he would see someone coming, he would move aside. So he was just trying to put this very clear, that understanding Radha Krishna Leela, and Prabhupada's words, still smoking bidis and thinking I am becoming a, you know, Radha Krishna bhav, you get that? Impossible. The best book to understand Radha Krishna Leela is Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti means bhakti, rasa, the taste of bhakti, amrita, it is immortal, sindhu, it's an ocean. So there Rupa Goswami explains that Krishna has 64 qualities. Not that he is limited to, but nicely delineated what kind of qualities Krishna has. And Radharani has only 25. But then, in a reversal of mathematical understanding, these 25 control these 64. She can control Krishna. Krishna, this world is Madan. Raj is the kingdom of Cupid. His play activity. The place where he rules supreme. Madan Ban. He has arrows. What he is called? Krishna is called Fulashara Yojaka Kam. Madan is also called, the Cupid also is called Fulashara. The fellow who has arrows of flowers, Fulashara, Yojaka, one who shoots them, Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha, these five various things which we have, Indriya Vishaya, these are the arrows. And once he shoots, you are finished. So this Madan, when he came to see Krishna and Radharani and the gopis dance, Cupid also is a personality, is an expansion of one of Krishna's potencies, but he is also an independently minded person. So he thought that, hey, Raslila, young boys, the young boy dancing with young girls, That's my job. That's what I specialize in. So he brought his whole entourage of musicians and everybody. Even in his material world, there are Gandharvas who specialize in singing, dancing. So some accounts in the Puranas, they detail how when Krishna dances with Radharani, the Manjis are expert in all kinds, the Sakhis are expert in all kinds of musical instruments. Just see what philosophy they presented when they came as Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. So they are the quintessence of all knowledge, musical instruments included. So in one instance when Cupid's band party, Kamdeva's musicians, they came and they set up, like we have people who set up musical instruments, and they said, okay, let us show them that we also can enjoy properly. So Krishna was about to begin his dance, and they all started their, you know, how they initially sort of rev up. And this party was looking at as if, you know, what's that noise? And when they heard the instruments played by the gopis, when they began their alap, their singing, and they began their musical instruments, first of all, their jaws dropped 1.5 feet. They kept their instruments aside. They said, we have never heard anything like this. In another instance, in a similar setting, when Krishna was trying to start his dance performance, Kamdev thought, let me show who I am. I can size anybody up. And I can really attract their mind. He looked at Krishna and he fainted. Kandarpa koti kamaniya. So this Krishna who can make somebody like Cupid faint, he sometimes faints at the lotus feet of Radharani. That please take me back in your favor. So that is the power she has. In fact, somebody was telling that when Radhanath Maharaj was asked by somebody in Barsana, who gave you this name, Radhanath? You think Krishna is Radhanath? What kind of name is this? Radharani is Sarveshwareshwari. She holds everything. She controls everything. So in Barsana the mood is that she is the boss. And she is. But of course, this play is the play of love. Srila Prabhupada, as the foremost lover of Krishna and the foremost servant of Radharani, even before he began his preaching, his verbal talking with the Western people, the very first lines in his poem were, Krishna tava punya have bhai. There are various meanings of this, but one is, Krishna tava punya have bhai, my dear brother, if you want the favor of Krishna, e punya koribe jabe radha rani khushi habe. Dhruva ati, I say this with conviction, Boli tomatai. I say to you, my dear brother, if you want the favor of Krishna, you should seek the favor of Radharani first. Krishna's, Prabhupada's father, Gormohan Day, would pray to every sadhu that, please make my son a devotee of Radharani. So therefore, in Vrindavan, we still have this. Even rikshawalas, when they have to make somebody say, make way, they don't say, hey, who, like that. They say, Radhe, hey, Radhe, 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 Radhe. It's all Radhe, Radhe, Radhe in Vrindavan. I used to see, right from the time I went, trees having, Kabhi na bhulo, Radhe, Sada japo, Radhe. Finally, in my last visit, I found the fellow who actually does it. That's his life's mission, right? All over trees and all over walls. Kabhi na bhulo, sada japiye, sada rato, Radhe, 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 Radhe. That is the benefit of actually going to Vrindavan. Of course, Rupa Goswami does not insist that physically one has to go. If one cannot go, one has to come to a place where the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are enacted. So, to end, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us right from the very beginning as to what is this divine play which God Himself enacts. Why does He do it? Why Krishna has to come to this material world and enact His pastimes with Radharani? Prabhupada says, because if we allow ourselves to be swayed away by Mayavad philosophy that spiritual realm has no variety, it's all zero, or it's all one, that very notion will force us to get attracted to mundane variety here. There is no way we can escape the attraction of mundane variety. You condemn it, you curse it, but your senses will helplessly take you away. As Arjuna says, balad iva, forcibly. Maya for us is an irresistible force and we are very movable. So devotees pray, hey Krishna, please take my mind, please attract my mind. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna, my mind is like a calf. You are trying to drive her to a river of nectar and this calf wants to drink water from a ditch. What to do? You discipline me. I can't. So when we helplessly chant, then Radharani surely gets attracted by our crying. Then she brings us before Krishna. And as in the morning Gauranga Prabhu said, we want to make some offering. If we go to Krishna and say, I love you and here is something, he says, oh, you love me? Where were you? For such a long time. I hardly know you. We know Paramatma, who is our constant assistant, constant attendant. He assists us in eating any kind of thing, abominable things even. But Krishna, Shyam Sundar, there we don't have any introduction. We need this. We have to have this introduction from Radharani. And therefore, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, just to give this understanding of why Gaudiya Vaishnavas are called very shrewd, he says if somebody aspires to go to Vrindavan and serve there, just look at this from this point of view. In Kurukshetra, Krishna has come from Dwarka and he was all hathi, ghoda, elephants and chariots and he's looking like a king. And the gopis have come, Nanda Baba has come, Yashoda Mai has come. And they see Krishna, and just like if you see someone in a very big mess, you say, what you have done to yourself? So similarly, the gopis are seeing Krishna with chariot, with the dress of a king, and he's saying, they seem like saying, we can't relate to this fellow like this. They need a lot of assistance. They make a chariot, they put Krishna there, because he has come from Dwarka, there is his brother Baldev, and their sister Subhadra. They forcibly put him there. But they can't tolerate him. If Krishna is there, we have to pull him back to Vrindavan. That is the Rath Yatra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would always be having that feeling. Pull Krishna away from outside Braj, back to Braj. So in Kurukshetra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Radharani needs the most assistance. She doesn't need in one way, but this is pastime. Just like if I give you a glass of water, you may say, okay, later. Why? Because you are not thirsty anymore. But if it's a desert, you have not had water for the last 2 days, and then I say one glass of water, 100 rupees sir, gladly. The same water. But why the price increased? Because of the situation. So simple service. Somebody makes garlands, somebody buys flowers, somebody transports flowers, somebody transports books, somebody just lifts them up, puts them in a godown, somebody actually sells them, somebody speaks, somebody listens. But all of us, if we allow Prabhupada to serve Radharani, just because it may be announced that whoever did the service, all of them get the bill. Like in the army it happens. If one man in a company, he does something great, everybody gets a prize. Because the company is felicitated. Similarly, Prabhupada alone is sufficient for ISKCON to be glorious. And he showed, how he did everything himself. But if we all continue, allow ourselves to be used by Prabhupada in some small service, Radharani's declaration will be, all in ISKCON are allowed. And that's our only hope. Shri Radharani ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Now the eagerly awaited Radha Stami ecstatic Kirtan is about to begin. Any announcements?